Hi, this is Caught at Work. Your clue is
off. In this episode of Geo Talk, we head down to Canberra to attend a Geo event, talk to the evil genius behind the XOE caches, and get an audio report from the Blue Mountains. All this and more on Geo Talk. Well, welcome to another episode of Geo Talk. This morning, we're down in Australia's capital city, Canberra, or Canberra, as most of the locals call it, on a beautiful winter's morning. And we're just winding up an event which is being hosted by Big Matt from Big Matt and Shell. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks, Sam.
You had quite a good turnout this morning. It was a fairly good event.
Yeah, we're very impressed. It's our second event, and we had probably 40-odd people here, so it's quite impressive.
You mentioned with all the speeches and so forth, you're hoping to make this a bit of a regular event?
Yeah, look, there's been some discussion on the forums for quite a while now to try and sort of get new people coming through in our local area and trying to introduce them to people. So it's the plan is to try and continue these every 3 months or so.
What does it take to put an event like this together? Is it difficult or is it fairly simple?
Look, it's probably securing the spot is one of the hardest spots, especially around Canberra, where everyone likes to get out and enjoy the parks. Really, there was probably not a lot. There's a little bit of cost involved, but it's nothing dramatic. I'd encourage anyone to get out and host an event. Good way to meet people.
A lot of people, when they host events, have a little bit of an activity or game. You had a trivia quiz, which was a lot of fun. How long did that take to put together?
Look, it probably only took an hour or so the other night on the computer, but I think everyone learned something, and I definitely learned something putting it together. It was amazing, the stats and different things about different people. So
we might grab some of those questions and check them up on the website and see if people can work them out themselves. Now, you've been caching for a few years now in Canberra?
Look, we started off down the south coast. We only moved to Canberra last November, so we've only been up here for probably 10 months or something like that. But we used to come up here on day trips, whereas most people go on cache and bait a big city. We were lucky we were only 160 kilometres down the road.
Now, I've noticed, I've just come up for the weekend, or come down for the weekend, partly for the event and also for some other things, and I've noticed that the cache density here is quite high. I mean, do you find it's fairly easy to knock over a few quick finds in a weekend?
Look, we do, but the biggest trouble was the fact that we used to come into the town was we knocked off all the easy traditional finds, and now we're left with mysteries and puzzle caches and the occasional multi. So it's getting harder and harder, but look, definitely I think the ACT has about getting close to 600 caches in it now, which is in only a small area. It's amazing. There's definitely a lot around here.
And there's certainly a wide variety of them, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. There's a cache for everybody, right from sort of the easy micros or the drive-bys down to some fairly long walks in the national parks and that sort of stuff.
So if someone was coming down to the ACT, what do you recommend they do to make sure they get the most out of their caching adventure?
Look, I think anywhere, whenever you're travelling, just put some planning into it, have a bit of a read and have a look at previous logs and just try and plan a bit of a run around. I'd probably try and focus on some of the inner cities and around the war memorials and the ones on the hills, so you can actually get some benefit out of it rather than just quick, easy drive-bys.
And of course, keep your eyes out on some of these regular events that might be occurring in the near future.
Oh, absolutely. And just keep an eye out. You never know. I know plenty of people tell stories of coming to Canberra, and there's always a cacher. The local cachers will always stop if they see somebody around a cache, so don't be surprised if you're sitting there and all of a sudden somebody taps you on the shoulder.
Well, on behalf of everyone listening, thanks for joining us on Geo Talk.
No worries. Thanks, Darren.
Hello, this is Damo. The third clue is Jackson Place, South 615, East 616.
Hi, this is Marcus Vitruvius. The last three numbers of South and East can be found by finding the fool who falls before the one they call Junon sitting high upon her chariot. In time, the magic man will give you justice as he guides you safely into the arms of the Empress.
Hi, this is Team Red Roo with our third clue. Naughty me. I changed the datum. Guess which one I used?
Well, we're back in Sydney now, and thank you very much to everyone we caught up with down in Canberra and to those people that hid caches that we found down there. It's just amazing the cache saturation that's occurred in that city since I left 2 years ago. And also one of the interesting things I found is the difference in the type of bush that's down in Canberra. You realise how much harder it is finding a geocache in Sydney, where you definitely don't want to go off the trail, whereas in Canberra, it's a little more sparse, and because it's dry, it's easier to get around. But anyway, once again, we had a great time down there. I think we found 17 caches on the weekend, and one of those was Sandhills FM, which you might recall I spoke to MOS6510 a few episodes back about his FM transmitter and the cache he'd set up, and it was really worth it. It was really fantastic, and anyone who heads down to the Canberra region should give that a go. It's probably about a half an hour drive out of the city, but well worth giving it a shot. And you can listen to our utters, U-T-T-E-R-Z. We recorded some audio while we were there. It was a bit hard to record the audio beeps, but you can check that out from the link in the show notes. In the news over the last week or two, I stumbled across someone who was very clever in converting the OpenStreetMaps into routable Garmin maps. Now, you know, those of you who have been involved with OpenStreetMap and have a Garmin have probably known for a while that it is possible to be able to transfer the data from OpenStreetMap, which is a wiki for maps. It's a user-generated map. And you've known for a while you can convert that into your Garmin. But now someone from Europe has been able to convert those into routable files, and they are Garmin files. So you can load them up to MapSource, or for the Mac version into Bobcat as well. I've tried that out and it works. And overall, the product is pretty good. It's not as good as a commercial product. There are a few errors in there, but the great advantage of being OpenStreetMap is if you find an error, you can go back in and fix it straight away. So check that out. Link in the show notes to those OpenStreetMap Garmin routable maps. Just in the last few days, Caches of the Roundtable have released episode number 13, which looks at first-to-find hunts, and you'll hear myself, along with X-Punk X from Geocaching Podcast, and Daryl and Dree from Cachemaniacs, as we discuss, and in some parts agree to disagree, on certain aspects of first-to-find. So check that out at cachesroundtable.com. I received an email during the week from Kale D asking about the iPhone. Now, I have to admit, I haven't gone out and purchased one, even though I was coveting it for the last 18 months. Since the 3G version has come out, everyone's been excited about the GPS chip, but after a while, a few reviewers have found that it's not quite what it's cracked up to be. But the interesting thing is, Kale wanted to know if there was any software, geocaching software, that's come out yet, similar maybe to the Trimble Navigator. Nothing that I'm aware of, but there are some rumours that someone is doing some developing, or there is some developing going on in that space. So if anyone's got any news, drop us an email at geotalk@mac.com. GeoTalk GeoCoins, they're running out. There's not many left. We're seriously almost down to single digits now. So if you haven't put in an order, go to geotalkpodcast.com. I suspect they're probably going to run out in the next week or two. All the proceeds from the sales go towards keeping this podcast running, because there's a few costs in server costs and so forth. So head to that web address and put in an order before they run out. And finally, the GeoTalk trivia question for this episode. It's a fairly simple one. What's the most popular day of the week for geocaching, according to the number of logs in GCA on the GCA website? And just to make it a little bit more difficult, see if you can get the days in order of popularity. So from the most popular day down to the least popular. Answer to that at the end of the podcast.
Hi, this is Tilby, and you're listening to GeoTalk. After listening to this podcast, why not check out the GeoTalk archives for any episodes you may have missed?
Sniver has another message for you. My friends are to the east.
Well, over the past two episodes, and including this one on GeoTalk, you've heard a number of audio clues scattered throughout each episode. And the brains, or should I say the evil, behind all this is Caught at Work, also known as Peter from down in Melbourne. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're quite welcome, Darren. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Now, people over the last two episodes, as I said, have been hearing all these clues, and it's all part of a fairly big series of caches that have been put together, coordinated by yourself. Tell me, first of all, what was the idea behind putting together such a complex series of geocaches?
Well, you're right in that it's quite complex. The original idea behind it was to try and get a series of caches placed, at least one, by a person in every state and territory in Australia. As it turns out, we've actually got 15 caches involved, and that will actually turn out to be 30 physical caches that have been hidden around the country. So the idea was to try and create an Australia-wide series of caches, all with audio clues as presented by GeoTalk.
Now, it's a series of two types of caches. I think I've got that clearly. So each cache hider has put out two caches. The first ones involve the audio clues. How do they get to the second stage?
Well, the second stage is probably the more evil component of this particular series. Each of our caches, each of the first caches, has a clue that might help you find somebody else's cache in a different state. Now, if you're willing to travel interstate to find that cache, you're more than welcome to, but essentially you're going to have to trade your clues with somebody else who's found a different cache in a different state. So it's all about trying to get geocaches to network together to people that they've never spoken to before, never emailed before, to see whether or not each of them have something that they're willing to trade. Now, it's not necessarily going to be a simple trade of one for one. You may have to engage a second or even a third or fourth or fifth party in order for you all to be able to get the clue that you need to find a particular cache in your state.
It really seems to highlight the changing face of geocaching, because when I first started 5 years ago, it was very much a solo sport. But over the last couple of years, it seems to have developed this team community type spirit, hasn't it?
I think in Australia, we've got a very good caching community. We get together at events, obviously, but people run into each other all the time. You find out that you work with geocachers, and there is a real sense of community. People talk to each other, people chat to each other. Generally, they're the people that you run into around your own area. But part of the idea of this series was also to try and get you part of the community in other states and territories. And hey, if we can get somebody from Tasmania talking to somebody who's found a cache in the Northern Territory, and then they have to work together with somebody in Western Australia, you know, we're hoping that it will bring the community a lot closer together.
Now, I know you've got a little bit of an insight because you've done the sort of cutting and dividing of clues that have gone around the country, but do you think that there's any one particular state or territory that you would expect will come up with the first to find in this series?
It really does depend on how good you are at listening to the clues. Some of the clues are particularly evil. Some of the clues are relatively straightforward. Some of the clues are a little bit different to what you would expect. They're not all necessarily going to give you coordinates. So when it comes to which state will be the first to find, I really don't know.
We should put you in charge of a political party. That's a very diplomatic answer. Now, before I let you go, you've got to give a plug for one other thing. At the start of the month, there was a new geocaching game that started. Everyone might remember from last year, River Deep Mountain High, and there was also a kids one. I think it was GeoKids, or what was it?
That was the Cool Kids Caching Competition, yes.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got two new ones for this year. Well, you've had many others running, but there's one that started this month, GeoSports. Tell us very quickly about that.
Yep, sure will. If you go to cachinggames.com and then head through the links to GeoSports, we're actually running a game, available and open to anyone from anywhere around the world. Join in the game, find a number of caches, potentially up to 30 that meet certain requirements. And those requirements are based on the disciplines in the modern Olympic Games. So it just happened to be that August and September, good time of year to run it. It started on the 1st of August, and of course with the Olympics opening on Friday. it's a good chance for you to all get out, enjoy caching, and there's the potential, if you finish in the right place on the ladder, to win a 2008 Australian Geocoin, which I will mail to anyone anywhere in the world if they happen to be the winner of one.
And thankfully you said that had to do with modern Olympic Games and not the ancient ones, otherwise we'd all be earning smileys for nude up for a smiley at the same time as well.
Absolutely. I don't think we need any nuding up for a smiley, although if you do want to go nude mud wrestling, wrestling is one of the requirements, so you could probably kill two birds with one stone on that one.
I think I'm taking that cache off my watch list. And one other event that you've got running later this year, and I've had a lot of people chat to me about this when I've gone caching, and they've told me, oh, I'm not gonna take all that cache this weekend. I'm leaving that for later in the year for this well-rounded cacher competition. When's that coming up?
Well-rounded cacher, I can't remember exactly what month it is. I think it's November, December. Basically, it's about also getting out of your comfort zone. So a lot of people do caches in the 1-1, 2-2 type range. If you want to be a well-rounded cacher, there's 81 different combinations of difficulty and terrain. Not every single state, not every single place is going to have all 81 combinations. The idea is that during the time of that game, you go out and you find as many different terrain and difficulty caches that you can. And there's actually three components of it. There's called the well-rounded cache, which means you can claim anything up to a 5-5 in a terrain and difficulty. There's what we call the 4-4 well-rounded cache. So if you simply can't get to terrain type 5 caches, you can head out and find 4-4 as your maximum. And there's also the 3-3 rounded cache. So if you're feeling that you don't even want to tackle a terrain 4, just find caches that take you up to a difficulty of 3 and a terrain of 3. And I think we'll find that virtually every state and territory in Australia has at least one of every combination up to 3-3, and there's potentially 27 different caches that you need to find for that game.
All right, well, that's a good forewarning for everyone later this year. And, of course, if maybe for those states that don't have some of those combinations, you might think about hiding them before that event actually starts later in the year in around about November. Look, Peter, thanks once again for joining us. You've given us a great rundown on some of the things that are happening geocaching-wise in Australia, and all the best with your geocaching. Thanks again, Caught at Work.
Thank you very much, Darren.
G'day, this is Big Matt and Shell. Your final clue is a triangle is 3, a pentagon is 4, and a lightning bolt is 6. Good luck.
My favourite number is 1. I'm sure it is 1. 1 it is.
This is Astro John from Team Astro. Your third and final clue for Astroism's GC1CFHA is...
Well, it's time to have a look at some of the events that are occurring around the country, and there's only three that are listed at the moment. On the 10th of August is Come Spot Flippers at the Port With Me over in Port Adelaide in South Australia. On the 16th of August is Caching in Geelong Get Together,
And I suppose if you go head down there, you could try the Where I Go cache that Mr. Emu set up. It shouldn't be all that far away. And on the 26th of August is pub lunch number 17 with US cachers Max B on the river over there in Adelaide. So there's a couple of events that are occurring in Australia. Obviously, when the weather warms up, we'll see a few more on the listings. Don't forget, if you want to promote an event or anything else that you're running at this point in time, give us a call on the GeoTalk hotline on 02 800 50 436. It's time to dive into the GeoTalk mailbag and have a look at what we've received over the last 2 weeks. First of all, here's some audio from Linda, also known as Tronador, from a cache that she found up in the Blue Mountains.
Hi, this is Tronador. Last weekend, Altair, Alpini, the Allsod and I went out caching in the Blue Mountains west of Sydney. We went to do a cache called Cliffhanger by Foundam. Now, Cliffhanger is a terrain 4 cache, difficulty 3, but it's a little bit different to some of the caches you might find because it involves a Tyrolean traverse. If you've ever seen the movie Cliffhanger, well, that's exactly what we had to do. Sort of abseil slash swing across a gorge to get to the other side, which is where the cache was located. It was a fantastic experience, involved about an 8K round-trip walk, as well as the traverse across the canyon. We had fantastic weather, and all in all, a really, really, really good experience. You can read our logs on the cache page, and hopefully there'll be some photos up really soon. Bye.
Now, I also received a few emails from geocaches around the country talking about night caching. Now, unfortunately, we've crammed a bit too much into this episode, so we're going to hold it off for another episode or two, because hopefully in episode 34 we're going to be speaking to Groundspeak about the Where I Go caches, and then in episode 35 we'll talk about night caching. But if you've got some tips, please send them in to geotalk@matt.com or call them in on the GeoTalk hotline on 800 50 436, and we'll put all those together and mention them in episode 35.
Zachtel here. Need a hint? Count on it.
Hello, this is Team Rubik. Here is my final clue.
G'day, this is Papa Bear Left, informing you that it's east, then south, and it's not Buzz.
And it's just about the end of this podcast. Now, before I go, first of all, I have to draw the winner of the gold GeoTalk GeoCoin for overseas listeners. Now, you might recall during the month of May, we ran it for Australian listeners. You just had to put a comment and a rating on the iTunes store. And throughout the month of July, it was open to international listeners. Now, I've gone through all the lists, and the winner from the USA is Master of Diagrams. So, Master of Diagram, you've got until the end of August to get in touch with me. So send me an email at geotalk@mac.com. Get that out correctly. And we'll send that coin out to you in the post. And don't forget, there's only a few left. If you want to get your hands on a silver GeoTalk GeoCoin, you've got to get your orders in pretty soon. Go to the website geotalkpodcast.com. And finally, now the answers to the GeoTalk trivia question for this episode, and that is, what is the most popular day for geocaching in Australia based on the number of logs for each day? And of course, the answer is Sunday. Sunday's the most popular day. The next most popular day is Saturday, followed by, if you've got Monday, then you're correct. Obviously, there's a number of public holidays that fall on Monday. The next day is Friday, for those who are extending the weekend out a bit. Then Wednesday, Tuesday, and the least active day during the week for geocaching seems to be Thursday.
G'day, this is Murph. Here's a tip. To turn numbers into coordinates, sometimes all you need to do is move the decimal place 1 point to the left.
Hi, this is Sandy from Columphine 4. Our favourite letters are Foxtrot, Romeo, Double Papa, Blank and X-ray.
Well, that's it for this episode of GeoTalk. In our next episode, won't be any audio clues because you should have them all by now. Hopefully, we'll be speaking to Shauna from Groundspeak all about the Where I Go geocache concept and where it's heading to, and where they hope to see it head in Australia and around the world. Until next time, safe geocaching.